What is up, everybody? My name is John Sparks. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. And I want to say a huge thank you to everybody out there that's been showing love and support on the Instagram, the Facebook page, all the podcasting platforms. You guys freaking rock, man. Seriously, thank you so much. And I think we're all really enjoying this journey together as we learn more about UFOs, cryptids, spirits, ghosts, demons, everything that goes bump in the night. And if you guys want to support the show, guess what? I just dropped merch. That's right. If you go to the Instagram page or you go to the Facebook page, you'll find a link there. It's going to get you some sweet, sweet paranormal swag. Maybe some dope hats, some wicked sweet t-shirts, maybe even a bandana for your paranormal pup. That's right. Grab a bandana, slap it on that pup. I want to see a picture on Instagram. With that being said, grab a seat, kids. Get ready, because it's about to get crazy on a brand new episode of Sparks of the Paranormal. Everybody, welcome back to the podcast. I am your host for Sparks of the Paranormal. I am John Sparks. I want to say a huge thank you to everyone that listened to our last episode with Mr. Connor Flynn, aka Bigfoot Anonymous. That was a great episode. A ton of information about cryptids. We got into some crazy stuff on that episode. But today, I have got a really, really cool episode. I'm very excited about this one. Honestly, I'm always excited. But this guy, out of Indiana, he has been investigating with his team for 3 years. He is one of the founding members of Heart City Paranormal. Ladies and gentlemen, it is my pleasure to introduce to you Mr. Philip Gibson. Philip, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great, John. How about yourself?
I can't complain, not that anybody would want to hear it. I got to start off with the basics. What got you started into the paranormal? Was there an experience? Is it just an obsession? Are you a skeptic that wants to disprove? How did it all get started?
Actually, I'll tell you where I'm going to start at. Back when I was a kid, my interest in the paranormal began was the movie Poltergeist, the original Poltergeist movie, mm-hmm. Part 1. I remember watching that movie and it immediately was like intrigued with the paranormal, just what it, you know, what it entails, and you know, being young, you really didn't have a really broad idea of what's going on. All you knew that it was kind of cool, you know, it's spirits, it's stuff moving around, it's ghosts, it's the unknown. Poltergeist the movie is pretty much what started what began the interest in the paranormal, the paranormal itself. Now, when I got the urge to want to investigate the paranormal, was sitting down watching the original Ghost Hunters, shows on Sci-Fi back, you know, in the early, you know, first, second seasons. The Ghost Hunters crew, you know, Jason Grant, you know, Steve, those guys, you know, sitting down on my couch, you know, in 2005 and 2006, watching the episodes, and then I thought to myself, you know, this is something I might, you know, be interested in. And then I can narrow it down to one episode. Actually, was the St. Augustine Lighthouse episode in season 2 was the episode was the.
How did I know it was that episode? I got the same thing, man. I lived in St. Augustine for a little while, and that episode like kept in the back of my head, just sticking in the back of my head, and I'm like, those guys.
Yeah, that episode right there, that very episode was the episode that drove me and just inspired me to want to investigate the paranormal. Now, it took a while to put that in fruition and put it into action, because as you said, you know, we've only been a team for 3 years, so there was probably a 10 year gap in between that episode and when we became a team. But my interest in investigating the paranormal started, I would say, with that episode of the season 2 of St. Augustine's Lighthouse. That was just that episode right there just floored me and pretty much set me on the course of where I am. Where we are, well, my team agrees. You know, that was a very important episode in our for our team. Yeah, the St. Augustine Lighthouse episode was the one that really put the ball in motion.
Yeah.
To influence me to want to do what I'm doing today.
And for those of you guys, the young bloods out there that don't know about the original Ghost Hunters on Sci-Fi, I've got to tell you, I need you to go out and find those episodes. The one that we were talking about with the St. Augustine Lighthouse, like even now just thinking about it sends chills up my spine. Because, I mean, you're literally just looking at it and you're like, you know, oh, they couldn't top Eastern State Penitentiary Season 1. And then all of a sudden, they did. They did. In like 0.5 seconds, you're like, there's no way. There's no way that just happened. And sure enough, you know, you just keep watching the replay. I taped it, and I just kept rewatching it for like a week, and I'm like, oh my God.
Yeah, I used to use that episode, like, actually just as recent as this year, maybe late last year. I would use that episode as kind of a motivation, kind of a pre-investigation motivator for me to, like, I watch it, I'm like, oh, now I'm ready to go on.
The hype
video. Let's do it. And it gets me in that mood to, like, I'll watch it right before an investigation, and I'm pumped.
Yeah.
And I'm ready to, it doesn't take that to do it, because I'm already, investigating just excites me to begin with, but that, it was like a motivator, like, kind of like a pre-game, like music, you know, somebody listens to music in a pregame, yeah, or something. It just gets you pumped up, and that's what that episode did for me before investigation. And it just gets me ready to go.
Yeah, that's phenomenal. Cause yeah, I mean, I totally get it. But you know, Taps and the original Ghost Hunters series, and you know, the shows that were on at that time, like Paranormal State. And you know, you look at like the old episodes of Dead Files and stuff like that, it's just, it's stuff that when you look at it, you're like, these are the shows that brought the paranormal into the mainstream, and thank God for
that. Absolutely.
It drove a lot of people to, you know, where we are now, where we've got at least one, two, sometimes even three paranormal teams in a city, and everybody's got their own techniques. You know, it's not like people are copying each other. Everybody's got their own techniques. They've got their own way of doing things. And that's part of why I did this show, you know, is because I want to learn more. And everybody out there has their own way of doing things, which brings me to my next question. What do you love the most about investigating?
What do I love the most? I think it's the unexpected. It's the not knowing what is around the corner. I think the unexpectedness, the surprise factor of investigating the history as well. But I think, like I said, the surprise factor of investigating, you know, not knowing what's around that next corner, the history, the people I meet, you know, on this adventure, you know, the people we meet as we go to these locations, as we go to these, you know, these paracons and these little get-togethers. That's probably the best motivators and the best, what excites me about, you know, investigating. It's hard to know what this consists of. We have so many questions about the paranormal. We know, what is it? You know, where are these spirits, you know, these EVPs we're catching on our recorders, where are they coming from? Yeah, you know, I think it's those questions, those mysteries of the paranormal itself. I think that is, it just excites me. Not knowing what lies around that next corner, getting home and going through your audio and just hearing that EVP. It's like, you know, when I hear an EVP, or even especially a Class A EVP.
Oh, yeah.
It's one of those things where it each EVP, it's just as exciting as my very first EVP. You never get enough of it.
Yeah.
I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
It's like a drug. It's like a drug.
It never gets old. There's been times where I've been kind of like, I call it the paranormal dumps.
Mm-hmm.
But they usually don't last long, and I'm ready to go again. But yeah, just hearing them, just hear an EVP, you know, it's just like, it's like the first EVP you've ever heard. It's just so exciting, and it's just really mind-blowing, you know, thinking that, you know, I'm sitting in this room, and I'm communicating with, you know, who we think are spirits, and you're not hearing anything when you're, you know, you don't hear anything while you're doing the EVP session, and you go back, listen, and you go back and listen to your audio, and then this voice is loud, just as loud as what you were talking, you know, just as loud as your voice is. You're like, man, that was not there when I recorded this audio. And that's just, it's just mind blowing, because we're like, where are these voices coming from?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So
is it another dimension? Is it an alternate universe? Is it where's it coming? And that's, I think, the mystery and the unexpected, the surprise factor. I think that's definitely it when it comes to, and the people you meet on the, along this journey. It's, I've met a lot of great people, and they've remained, you know, I'd call them my friends, and it's definitely a field that keeps giving, you know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah.
That's the way it is, even just doing this podcast, man, because it's the same thing. It's the investigation, it's the research, it's the drive, it's the quest for knowledge. That's what keeps us going. And being able to share these experiences with each other. And, you know, it's like I said earlier, you know, the great thing about the fact that the paranormal is out there in the forefront, the paranormal is becoming more normal. And for those, you know, of us that are, you know, have had experiences or out there investigating, the paranormal is normal. And it's a way for us to communicate and to get together and come together. And it's amazing what is going on inside this community. And the fact that the more people are out there investigating, the more people like myself are bringing the investigations out to light and the investigators out to light, that, you know, it's I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it makes you want more. It, like I said earlier, it's a drug. It makes you want more. So what is your favorite piece of evidence thus far? And something tells me it's an EVP.
Oh, yes. My favorite piece of evidence. I would have to say, I would say my most credible and most undebunkable piece of evidence, and probably the best piece of evidence that we've ever captured, was during, we were invited to join our good friends, Evelyn and Marianne, at the old Kosciuszko County Jail in Warsaw, Indiana, one of our favorite locations to investigate for the 2018 world's largest ghost hunt.
Wow.
And, you know, for those who may not be familiar with the world's largest ghost hunt, it was like a bunch of different locations all, you know, at one time, to investigate that night. It was always the last Saturday in September, and all these different locations all investigated at one time, and they had they all had the same line of questions, and they all had time, you know, at certain times we were allowed to ask the questions. But anyway, it's pretty much a big conglomeration of different teams from all over the world. They all joined together at the same time to investigate these different locations. But we were invited to do an investigation, the World's Largest Ghost Hunt, with Evelyn, our good friends Evelyn and Marianne at the Kosciuszko County Jail. And the one piece of evidence that stands out more than anything in all the investigations we've conducted in the last 3 years, this, in my opinion, this is the most credible and undebunkable piece of evidence we've ever had. We were sitting there and in the middle of the bullpen downstairs in the jail, and our late friend, she's passed on now, but Evelyn, she, I have to kind of go into a little backstory, because, and I'll make it quick. Annie Chaplin was a girl that's familiar with the territory, with the jail. She met up with she was a resident of Warsaw, and she, ended up getting together with this guy named Glenn Smith, and they got together, and Glenn convinced Annie to write a check, write a forged check in her father's name, Moses Chaplin, and they forged a check and tried to cash it at the bank. They got busted, and they both were locked up in jail at the old Kosciuszko County Jail. Gwen Smith posted bail, or posted bond, he was let out. Annie, on the other hand, she knew Gwen was bad news, and so he got together with the sheriff of the jail and said, I need you to keep her. You know, she served her time, but I want you to keep her in here for a little bit longer. And I want to keep her away from Gwen, because Gwen is bad news.
Yeah.
So the sheriff and, you know, the people kept her at the jail, and so she was doing odds and ends and, you know, working and helping out around, you know, helping cook breakfast for the, you know, and dinners for the prisoners and stuff like that. And she had initially resided in the sheriff's residence of the jail. Well, to make a long story short, she was heading out to the outside porta potty, you know, the outhouse.
Yeah.
And as she was making her way out to the outhouse, Gwen pretty much pounced on her like a, you know, jumped the fence and pounced on her like a lion, and shot her twice in the stomach. And when she fell, he shot her in the head, finished her off, and shot her in the head, and they turned the gun on himself.
What?
So, yeah, it's a pretty crazy story, it's a pretty crazy story, and I actually, you can find all the information that's documented online and in the records of Kosciuszko, but where this piece of evidence came in, we at the world's largest ghost hunt, we were trying to contact Annie.
Yeah.
And at the jail, and Evelyn, you know, who did the tours at the jail, she was saying, Annie. We were also trying to contact her brother, Judd, which he had no ties to the jail whatsoever, but we were using Judd as a trigger object to try to get Annie to come through for us.
That's pretty smart.
Evelyn, you know, asked the question, Annie, how old were you when Judd left home? Because Judd wasn't very kind to Annie. He picked on her and just treated her bad while they were, you know, still home. So Evelyn asked the question, Annie, how old were you when Judd left home? Okay, and we were all, there was one, two, three, four, five of us, six of us in the bullpen, which had been our 14. It was myself, Sean, team member Sean, team member Samantha, as well as our good friend Clarissa Haler, as well, and then Evelyn and Marianne. I'm sitting over on one side of the bullpen. Sean was sitting on the other side of the bullpen with his back facing the doorway. And right after Evelyn asked Annie how old she was when Joe left home, about 10 or 15 seconds later, you hear Sean go, how old was she when she left home? Because I just heard the number 7 whispered in my ear. And sure enough, Evelyn's like, oh my gosh, she was 7 years old when Judd left home.
Wow.
Okay, now it goes a little further. It goes, it gets even better, because not only, as of right now, we have Sean's claim that he heard the voice, but we also had evidence, you know, backed up evidence that she was in fact 7 years old.
Yeah.
Going through the audio, Sean's, you know, we didn't hear it at all, and, you know, in the room, Sean's the only one that heard it was right in his ears, so it was like he heard it with his own ears.
Yeah.
It's a body voice, but only he heard it. But then going through the audio of his recorder, you hear, if someone asks the question, you heard.
Wow. Dude, that's nuts.
It was loud. Very loud. So, it was very loud. It was like just as loud as what Sean was talking about, but in a whispery type of form. And so not only did we have documentation from Evelyn that she, in fact, was 7, we had Sean document it before Evelyn told us, and then to seal the deal,
yeah,
the EVP audio, which all around is, in my opinion, undebunkable.
Yeah.
There's no way you can sit there and to me, to this day, that is probably the best piece of evidence as far as like undebunkable evidence that we've and probably my favorite piece of evidence to date.
That's nuts though. I mean, you've got the story backing it up. You've got Sean hearing it in his ear, and then the backup is the fact that when you go to check it, because I know that a lot of people are like, oh, I remember hearing it, but I can't find it. It's there. It's on the audio. That is crazy.
Yeah. And I still have it. I still have the file, and I keep all my files on a hard drive. And the crazy thing about it is no, and it was, you know, we're pretty seasoned investigators. We know, you know, to be quiet.
Yeah.
And all that stuff, we know the protocols. And in silence in the room, and to hear that voice, how loud that whisper was on the recorder.
Yeah, that had to be crazy.
None of us heard it. It was completely silent.
And yet she's yelling from the other side.
Nobody, everybody had a recorder. I had a recorder running. Samantha, who was closer to Sean, and Clarissa as well, who was closer to Sean than I was, had their recorders running and absolutely nothing on their recorders. And the only one it showed up was on Sean's recorder. And that's happened to us many times where I'd be 2 feet away from Sean and we'd hear an EVP voice, you know, a class A, you know, with vocal tone, everything. Yeah. And I'd be 2 feet away from him and I'd catch it on mine, but he wouldn't catch it on his. That blows my mind, like, and it's happened many times during our investigation. And but that right there is probably the best piece of evidence as far as, yeah, absolutely, no doubt about it. It was just so.
So that,
my jaw hit the floor once we just, you know, tore it all apart and figured it out.
So that kind of raises a question in my head that actually, it literally, just as we're talking about this, I don't know how I haven't thought of this before, because, you know, I've seen that happen a lot where, you know, one person will hear it and maybe it'll pop up on their audio, but nobody else's. Maybe it's a voice that is for their ears only, and that's the reason that they are the only ones experiencing and catching it. Like, what is it about a person that would do that? Like, make them more comfortable? Like, are they more sensitive even though they don't know? Are they, you know, like a spiritual magnet or something? Like, it's interesting that would be the kind of thing that happens. I would love to find out some more information about why that happens.
Yeah, it's pretty intriguing. And especially that one. And then, like I said, once we tore it apart and went through all the different recorders and realized that the only one that was captured, only recorder that was captured on was the one that heard it, you know, in his ear, with his own ears, a disembodied voice, usually a disembodied voice, everybody hears it.
Yeah.
But this one, it was just his ears were in tune with that particular EVP, and it's amazing. Yeah, we were all, like, just absolutely floored when, and we were kind of disappointed because it was not used in the evidence reveal of the world's largest ghost hunt reveal in Iowa. So we were like, oh man, that was great evidence. But, you know, there was, you know, hundreds and hundreds of beams, and, you know,
everybody out there doing it.
Thousands of hours of audio, probably, you know, so it's just narrowed down to, you know, the ones. You know, we missed out. We were pretty excited. We were hoping that would make the cut, but it didn't.
Yeah, and honestly, you know, it doesn't matter what the, you know, the big things are. What matters is the fact that you guys were boots on the ground in the moment and actually caught it. And there's nobody else that was in there that caught it. It was you guys that happened to be there at the right time, at the right place, ask the right questions with the right people, and have the right guy there to hear it and catch it.
Yeah, and, you know, Evelyn and Marianne, they, you know, Annie, you know, in a sense was, you know, they, as many times as they, you know, as much time as they spent in that jail, you know, and, you know, in that, you know, let, you know, doing the tours and, you know, they probably got real comfortable with Evelyn and Marianne, and, you know, they were there with us, and that night by itself, was probably the greatest, probably the best string of EVPs that we've ever captured in one setting. I'm talking some amazing Class A EVPs that just blew my doors off.
Yeah.
It's just great to experience that.
Yeah. So what are some other places that you guys have investigated at, like highlights? Give me some highlights of the places that you guys have been and give me like one or two of your favorites.
One or two of my favorites. Well, the one in the old Kosciuszko County Jail is one of my all-time favorites, and that was probably the highlight. We've had many highlights there, but that right there was probably the tops. Hearing the jailhouse whistler with disembodied whistle with our own ears 30 minutes after we arrived there, caught it on audio.
That's crazy.
Another one of our favorite locations is the Monroe House in Harper City, Indiana. That's one of our favorite locations. Probably our best piece of evidence from there was we had, and this was absolutely, I don't know if you've ever heard, of the Monroe House?
I have not.
Paranormal Lockdown with Nick and Katrina, Ross and Katrina, they went there, and to this day, Nick said it's probably one of his top five five locations, like as in like activity.
Wow.
It had the misnomer being a demon house, which I've never experienced any demonic activity, or if you want to say that. Yeah. You know,
people throw that word around too much.
It was created, that name was created to, or you know, that tag to kind of, you know,
get people in there.
You know, and the owners don't buy into it. You know, they're like, no, we, you know. And yeah, the people that investigate there, no, it's not a demon house. But very active nonetheless. I put a recorder. A highlight from that investigation for me is I put a recorder on the a stationary recorder on the in the kitchen, mm-hmm, on the counter. And you know, we went about doing our business. Middle of the night, next thing you know, I'm listening to the recorder and I hear these two voices, and you could tell, they're whispers.
Yeah.
And you can hear just a conversation going back and forth.
Crazy.
Back and forth. Back and forth. And this lasted for probably on and off for about 6.5 minutes.
Yeah.
Followed up at the end, which the EVP still gives me goosebumps to this day. You hear one spirit voice say, you're terrible. You're terrible. You're terrible. And then the other voice comes across and says, the earth can't hear us. And I'm like, whoa, the earth can't hear us. Where are they coming from, dude? You know?
What the heck?
Yeah. I mean, I got goosebumps right now. The earth can't hear us. And it was a loud whisper where it was the world completely clear. The earth can't hear us. That was it.
What in the world?
They were bantering back and forth. That was the first time we were at the Monroe House. We went back to the Monroe House after that.
Yeah.
And we caught EVP, you know, on the camera that said running. Class A EVP, you know, as soon as they set the cameras up and we were head down to the base, we heard running.
What?
And as a woman, don't know, have no idea who that was, and it was captured again a year later in the kitchen, but you could hear it was a distant EVP.
Yeah.
So it was coming from the blue room, they call it, on the other side of the house, but you heard the same voice, same vocal tone, but it was much lower since it was further away, but it said running a year later.
That's
so it was
crazy.
Prior residual.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, and then we did the same thing, and I caught the evidence on the stationary recorder in the kitchen, so I said, I'm going to do this again.
Yeah.
And I got a video up of this one as well.
Mm.
And I slept in the kitchen that night and on the cot. And right in the middle of the kitchen. To me, it's the heart of the house. To me, it's been the most active place.
Heart city in the heart of the house. No pun intended. Yeah, no, that's honestly the best place you could be.
Yeah, and then we set the stationary recorder up in the kitchen once again. And the same thing happened. Except this was like 9 minutes.
Yeah.
About 9 to 10 minutes of audio, just back and forth. This was more like it was. You could tell it was two spirits talking, but he was only hearing one side of the conversation.
Mm.
But you could hear it was like, you know, he was asking, you know, who's that woman, and don't touch her. And then it was just back and forth voices for like, you know, 10 minutes, and it was just like, oh my gosh, dude, really? And
what in the world?
Yeah, it was just that right there was probably of that. Investigation, the Monroe House, those are probably the highlights. Although we've, you know, my teammate Sean got scratched down in the basement and on his arm, and it was reading. We were getting fluctuations on the mel meter. Every time we put the meter next to his arm after he got scratched, it would fluctuate maybe 0.4, 0.5. Well, he'd pull it away real slow and it would go back down to zero.
Mm.
Put the meter up next to his arm for 0.4, 0.5, we'd take it away. He got nauseous and dizzy. We took him upstairs and put him outside on the patio, and he, you know, was better after that. But the Monroe House, definitely, if you ever get a chance to come to Indiana, the Monroe House, they must investigate. And one more I'll say is probably either Eden Springs Park in Benton Harbor, Michigan, or the Griffin Blind Tiger in Hartford City as well, which we'll be going next weekend for Halloween night, where we've got an investigation at the Griffin Blind Tiger.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I'm talking about disembodied voices screaming in my ear, like screaming in the room, and I'll get into that real quick, and then we'll move on. But I don't want to like, you know, waste your time with.
No, I want to hear it all, man. I want to hear it all.
We were in the basement. This was back in I want to say July, mm-hmm, and at the Griffin Blind Tiger, and we were in the basement in this side room, and I felt something tug on the back of my shirt. I was like, oh, and Sean's like, what is that? I think something just grabbed my shirt. And then everything got silent, and we were like, well, was that you tugging my shirt? And all of a sudden I heard this, no!
What?
And it literally, like, oh my God, Sean, was that somebody outside? I said, the only two people in the building were myself and Sean. So yeah. Here's what I want you to do, Sean. I want you to go upstairs, and I want you to walk around the whole building screaming as loud as you can. Yeah. I'm going to sit down here, I'm going to listen with the recorder going, and I want you to scream as loud as you can, and I'm going to see how, if I can pick it up on the recorder, make sure this wasn't somebody outside.
Yeah.
Or even, you know, I know it wasn't anybody in the bar, because it was just Sean at the bar, and that was it. There was nobody else there. Sean walked around the side of the building, the front of the building, screaming. I said, are you screaming loud? He's like, Phil, I'm screaming so loud that people, there's a truck down there, people looking at me like I'm crazy. And I couldn't hear him at all. I mean, barely, just slightly. It sounded like it was right in the room. And I was floored. I'm like, oh my gosh. And I said, okay, I want you to come inside, walk the bar, walk up, right up, directly upstairs, walk the bar area, doing the same thing. He's screaming, Phil, Phil, hey! Phil, and it still wasn't. To me, you could tell when he was upstairs, he was yelling. You know how when you get a voice that's coming from a different room, it had that muted sound, like a wall is blocking it.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like. It was loud, but it was muted.
Yeah.
It sounded like there was no mute. It was like right there. It was no walls, like, you know, stopping, you know, muting the sound at all. It was just straight up, no, and it was loud.
That is nuts.
That was amazing. The craziest disembodied voice I've ever experienced in my life. That was, and yeah, that was pretty crazy. So that's a couple of them. Eden Springs Park was great. We love it up there. Debbie, Boyer Smith, and Jeff, they're great people up there. Had some great experiences up there. The old Lake County Jail where John Dillinger did his escape from. We investigated there. We've been to a lot of places. Those are the highlights of some of the my favorite investigations for sure.
So as you're running through those, I want to talk about the Monroe House real quick, because something popped into my head as I was listening, and the more you expanded upon everything that was happening there, is, was this the same time they were having the same conversation, the same time that the lady, like, it was the same trip that the lady had screamed running?
Was it the same trip?
Yeah.
The first investigation went, okay, Sean and I was setting the camera up in what they call the blue room, which is a very, very, very active place in the house where they've this black vortexes shooting up through the ceilings.
What?
And, this was actually captured on camera. I haven't seen it, though, but our good friend Michael Diddy and Corey Schnitz from Dick's Paranormal, and they investigated and kind of on video. I haven't seen it yet, though, but in the blue room, we were setting the camera up in the blue room. This was our very first time there.
Yeah.
And then as we were leaving to go down to the basement, we didn't hear it with our own ears, obviously. It was an EVP caught on the audio of the camera. It said, running.
Yeah.
That was the first one. The second time we caught it, now that first time is when I had the recorder on the counter. The first investigation at Monroe, I had the audio of the recorder on the counter when the spirit said, you know, the earth can't hear us.
Yeah.
That was the first investigation. The second investigation, we also put the recorder on the counter, and I also caught the same
running,
the voice saying running, although it was the same vocal tone, same, we could tell it was the same woman.
Mm-hmm.
Except it sounded further away, which made sense because
it would have been in the other room.
It would have been in the other room. It would have been across the house, but it was loud enough to pick it up on that recorder. Yeah. So both, they were captured on both investigations. Yeah, but one was louder than the other because it was coming from the blue room, and
so,
the other was from the kitchen.
So what that makes me think, though, is potentially if you're hearing that one-sided conversation on the second trip, after hearing running, and it says, don't touch her, could they, I mean, I don't know, like, who they could be talking about, but to me, my brain instantly goes back to the residual of the lady screaming running. Like, what if that's who they're talking about? And, you know, I've heard this a lot over my time just investigating the paranormal from, you know, my desk chair, that, you know, spirits talk to each other, and somehow, some way, the intelligent ones can somehow get in contact with the residuals. I wonder if that's who they're talking about.
It could be. Although it said, don't touch her. It said, go touch her.
Oh, go touch her.
Yeah, go touch her. Yeah.
That's
weird. And she, because Debbie from Eden Springs was with us on that investigation, because that's when we were kind of having a hard time keeping the fourth member. And then, so Debbie from Eden Springs Park in Benton Harbor, Michigan, came down and investigated with us. And Clarissa was there for a little bit, but she had to leave, you know, go back to Bluffton.
Yeah.
But her and Sean were in the what they call the safe room. It's where pretty much the living room of the house.
Mm-hmm.
And you could hear them in there talking. And then Samantha and myself were back in the blue room, doing the EVP session. So you could hear us talking very faintly, but you could tell it's us back there.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if they—I don't know who they were talking to—if they were talking to about Samantha or Debbie, but or if they were just doing it to maybe another spirit, or maybe was it a residual type of voice? But it said go touch her, and touch her. And so I don't know if they were actually telling the spirit to go touch Debbie, if they were telling the spirit to go touch Samantha, or if they were just telling to go touch another spirit in the house. Hard to tell.
Yeah. I mean, it's just, this is the stuff that just plagues my mind when I'm hearing these stories is just naturally as somebody who's experienced a lot, I'm still relatively a skeptic, so of course I'm going to ask a million questions. So my brain goes 900 miles an hour, and that's what popped into my head is it possible that they would have been talking about the residual, but now to know that there were also two female investigators in the house, there's so many questions, and that's the point of investigating, right? Is to get those answered.
Exactly.
Man, I just.
One more before we move into the Monroe house. This is a rumor. It has been documented, but supposedly back in the day, supposedly a rumor has it, and like I said, it's only a rumor, that a baby was drowned. There's a downstairs bathroom that there's a baby that was drowned in the bathtub.
Ugh.
And it taken down into the basement and thrown in a well.
Now
they found bones in human remains in the basement.
Yeah.
In the crawl spaces. Now Nick found those. Nick and the owner, Eddie, were actually back in the crawl space in one of the episodes of the first visit to the Monroe house for Nick and Katrina on Paranormal Lockdown.
Mm-hmm.
Nick actually found a human femur back there, as well as skull plates, skull fragments.
But it's like adult size.
Humans. Yeah, it was a female.
Oh.
And they found locks of hair and necklaces and clothing, and then they did a ground penetrating radar and found at least four graves in the yard, and possibly one underneath the patio slab.
There could have been a psychopath living at that house.
Could have been they make a serial killer. Could have been a old graveyard.
Yeah.
The way the house is built, there's stones that line the perimeter, and it sits on a hill.
So it very well could have been a cemetery or a graveyard.
They used to put stones around it, and they would build a cemetery on the hill.
Yeah.
That's where the house sat. But back to what I was going to get at, with the whole Monroe house, was supposedly the baby was drowned in the bathtub, thrown in the well, all a rumor. Well, we caught an EVP on that same recorder, the first one, the first time, the earth can't hear us. I did catch in that very same conversation on that recorder, a male spirit says she had the little bastard.
Oh my lord.
She had the little bastard. Yeah.
That's crazy.
So, I don't know. It's insane, man. The audio we've got at the Monroe house is absolutely insane. It's all on my our pages and on our page and on the videos we posted. Pretty crazy. There's a lot of mystery behind the Monroe house, a lot of mystery, a lot of unknowns, and there's multi-layers to that haunting. It's not called one of the most haunted houses in America for the fun of it. So
that's just insane to me that it, even if it's just a rumor, that there may have been mention of it in an actual EVP. That's like what. And to have this place built either, by a serial killer or on a cemetery is just, that's all kinds of, it's just paranormal. It's made for the paranormal. That's what it is. It's just made for the paranormal.
The whole town's haunted. I mean, you got the old county where you got the Monroe house.
Yeah.
And then not even a block down, you got the old Blackford County Jail, which is very haunted.
Oh,
then
yeah.
You have the Griffin Blind Tiger, which is a few blocks the other way.
Jeez.
Then you have the church that was torn down right beside the Monroe House, where there was human bones found underneath the church. And, so the whole town is a hot spot. I mean, not only that, but people's houses being haunted and then, buildings. There's something about that town that just... green paranormal activity, and it's all over the place. That's, and like I said, we're going down there next weekend.
Yeah.
For our investigation on Halloween night, we'll stay the night at the Griffin Black Tiger again and see if we can, you know.
Yeah,
spirits again. So
I'm excited for that. I'm definitely gonna be tuning in for that 100%. So as we're wrapping this up, man, if you could go ahead and throw out all of your social medias for everyone to go follow.
You mean like just our team or just anything?
Just your team, so they can find all of your content, all of your investigations, and everything.
Okay. Like I said, we have a Facebook page. Just if you type in Heart City Paranormal, it's spelled HART City Paranormal. Mm-hmm. That's our Facebook page. We don't have a YouTube. I started doing YouTube, but I've stopped. We mainly put our evidence on our main page.
Yeah.
And I also share it to my I share a lot of our evidence to my personal page. You know, Phil Gibson, obviously. You know, it's my personal Facebook page. I share stuff. I put paranormal stuff on there as well. But I mostly stick to my paranormal page.
Yep.
The Heart City Paranormal page. We put all of our evidence. We're very picky about what we put on there. We dissect it and make sure we're accepting a peer review. We like people, you know, commenting. We like, if they have an issue with what you post, we'd love to hear it. You know, we say, you know, feel free to voice your opinions. If you believe that something that's not legit, let us know.
Yeah.
We dissect it pretty well, and we are really picky about what we put on our pages. We're a very active page. We answer, you know, if people have questions. We do residential investigations as well.
Yeah.
We don't do as many as we, you know, we don't do as many as we do, as, you know, buildings and stuff like that. But,
yeah.
But yeah, Heart City Paranormal is our Facebook page, HART City Paranormal. It's myself, Sean Landers, and Samantha Landers, and Lisa Dawson. She's rehabbing right now from a hip surgery, so she's been laid up for a little bit. I guess if you're going to be laid up, it's a good year with the paranormal thing and, you know, that going on. And, you know,
yeah, definitely.
Not really has been as busy, although we've stayed pretty active with, you know, going to cemeteries and, you know, and local cemeteries. But we've been to a few locations this year.
Yeah.
The Monroe House this year got canceled, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Because that was right in the beginning of the COVID. But Heart City Paranormal, that's the best way to get a hold of us and follow up on what we're doing.
And that's how they will find out about the Griffin Blind Tiger next weekend.
Yes, that we'll keep. We like going live during our investigations, so you know, we try to, you know, keep it interesting and do Estes Method sessions and, you know, Spirit Box sessions and burst audio, burst DVD sessions and stuff like that. And but we'll definitely be keeping everybody up to date on the Blind Tiger and. Everybody tunes in.
Yeah, absolutely. I like I said, I'm stoked for it. Guys, go and follow Heart City Paranormal on Facebook. Get ready because, you know, like he said, Halloween night, Griffin Blind Tiger, live action. They're going to be live on Facebook. And I can, just based off of what we've talked about here, it's going to be a pretty crazy night. But you know, whenever you're out there, guys, and you're searching through your social medias and you find a paranormal team, it doesn't matter how big, how small, subscribe, follow, support. Everyone in the paranormal community needs support. Everybody has something different that they bring to the table, and it's the only way that we're really going to get the word out and make it more mainstream. Guys, I thank you for coming and hanging out with us. Thank you again to Mr. Philip Gibson and Heart City Paranormal for hanging out with us tonight. Hang on for another episode coming up. We've got another banger coming down the line with Old Town Paranormal, and it's going to be another really good episode coming next week. So, guys, I will talk to you next time on Sparks of the Paranormal.